Well, thank you so much, Kevin, and thank you all for having me here. And I will talk a little bit more about my parents later. And I'll just, since Kevin brought it up, I'll just mention that as part of our worship as staff of Via Missions, we give our pilgrimages, our faith stories. And I was the first one up, so I got to go recently, last week I got to share mine. And one of it was about the incident that Kevin is referring to. And my parents have always believed that to be a Christian is to be pro-life in all of its aspects of life, in opposition to abortion, to war, to the death penalty, and so forth. And so that has often landed my parents in trouble, as Kevin alluded to. And I once said, kind of jokingly, I said, you know that Merle Haggard song, Mama Tried, where this person, he's sitting in jail, he's saying, oh, if I would have only listened to my mother and followed her example, I wouldn't be sitting here in jail. And I said, for me, it was the exact opposite. It was by following my mother's example and teaching that I ended up in jail on occasion as well. So I'm a testimony to a kind of faithfulness to the gospel, and I'm grateful for that legacy. So I do bring you greetings, first of all, from my family, my wife Sylvia, and our three children, Elliot, Vincent, and Annalise, ages 9, 8, and 6. Oh, and 38 is my wife. Don't tell her I told you. I also bring you greetings from Early Church, where I attend. It's my faith community in Harrisonburg. And finally, I bring you greetings from Virginia Mennonite Missions, where, as Kevin mentioned, I'm on staff as short-term missions coach and ministry support teams coach. I spent a wonderful 4 days earlier this year with Kevin and Sonia in Jamaica, and I'm always glad to see them again, so it's wonderful to see you. And if you haven't already, ask Kevin and Sonia about the goat head soup, if they haven't told you about that Jamaican delicacy. I, for one, was not quite as enthralled with this dish as the Jamaicans were, but you can ask Kevin and Sonia about their experience with Jamaican goat head soup. Despite the goat head soup in Jamaica, or mannish water, as they call it, I'm not sure where that comes from, I did greatly enjoy getting to know Kevin and Sonia better during those 4 days as we were involved with our Jamaican brothers and sisters in meetings, in church meetings. And so we had plenty of time sitting in these meetings to talk, to reminisce, to get to know one another a bit. So I really appreciated that. I've entitled my sermon for this morning, A Mustard Seed Faith, which is taken from Luke 17, 5 through 10. And just for the record, my hot dogs only mustard and onions, so for what it's worth, just so you know. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I want to reflect on this passage from Luke by telling some stories. After all, as theologian Stanley Hauerwas has said, the lives of the saints are the hermeneutical keys to Scripture. That is to say, we come to a more full understanding of Scripture by seeing those Scriptures lived or acted out by those whose lives have been determined by those Scriptures. The reformers of the 16th century spoke of sola scriptura and how it is scripture alone that dictates doctrine and faithful Christian living. And in a sense, they were right. Scripture and the living word are indeed the fount by which we come to know the God who created heaven and earth, called Israel into being, and grafted us onto the story of God's salvation. Those who submit to the living word that is Jesus Christ and his testimony are living proof of the power and efficacy of the gospel to transform lives and communities for the sake of God's glory. In our own Anabaptist tradition, we can see how immersion in the scriptures formed a cruciform-shaped community willing to live, suffer, and die for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. The testimony and presence of saints in my own life has helped me to reread the Scriptures in my own life in new ways. Now, these folks that I'm going to tell you about this morning would likely bristle at the talk of being called saints in the Catholic sense of the word, but the Apostle Paul encourages us, all of us as members of the body, to be saints. Those who carry about in our bodies the life and death of Jesus, and through their lives give testimony to God's resurrecting power. So whether you want to be or not, you're God's saints this morning. To begin, I must begin with my own story. I was born to transplanted hippie parents in San Francisco, California. My folks had grown up in the rural Mennonite communities of Rushville and Dayton and been nurtured deeply, deeply rooted in the church. In their late 20s, they heard God calling them to strike out for California to plant a Mennonite church in the city of San Francisco. So they packed up their things into an old Dodge van, strapped a motorcycle to the front, and off they went. I was born into a house church that loved on me and the city and soon outgrew the house to become a vibrant community of 50 to 60 persons worshiping and serving the Lord together. I often wondered if my parents felt like a mulberry tree uprooted and planted in the ocean. At any rate, I grew up knowing that the roots of the faith that I had been given went very deep into the ocean of God's love. And that's really part of the beauty of this image of the mulberry tree planted in the ocean. In the Jewish worldview, the ocean was a place of darkness, of chaos, of death. And here's a mulberry tree that by faith has been relocated into a place of death, and yet life is what fruits from the tree. And life is possible because those roots grow down through all that death and darkness into the soil of God's love and is held firm. My parents were the first missionaries that I knew, and throughout my life, I came to see that where there is a mustard seed of faith, there is a movement in trust of a God who makes possible things that seem impossible. My parents never lived beyond the borders of the U.S. for long periods of time, but I was able to see that responding to God in faith is itself mission, because it inevitably leads us to move towards the world in response to God's love for us. My responsibilities at VM Missions include directing our short-term missions programs, which are Transcend, a 1 to 2 year mission internship, either abroad or in the U.S., and Partners in Mission, a program for equipping and sending short-term teams anywhere from a week to 2 weeks or even a couple of months. Kevin alluded to my being in Trinidad and Tobago with my family, and we were there as part of a short-term team that went to assist the Trinidad Mennonite Church in hosting a VBS in their community. So we were there as part of that and to build relationships with the various Mennonite churches in Trinidad. There's been much debate over the years as to the efficacy of short-term missions, but I can personally attest to their potential for conversion and greater discipleship because I was converted and discipled during one of them. When I was 13 years old, my parents took all 7 of us children out of school, and we headed west in an old green Chevy van pulling a 24-foot trailer. After a week of travel, we arrived at our destination, a ranch for deaf children in the hills of the Baja Peninsula in Mexico. We were there as a family, as a Partners in Mission team, to volunteer for 3 months, doing whatever it is they needed us to do, working in the orchards there, taking out the trash, helping with meals. And it was a really wonderful time for us. By the way, and as a shameless plug, I heartily recommend family trips like this. If you want to take one of these trips with your family, with your grandkids, with your immediate family, it's a wonderful way as a family of leaning into this world of Christian discipleship in a cross-cultural setting. The children at Rancho Sordo Mudo, which was the name of the ranch where we stayed and where my family encamped in our travel trailer, lived, played, worked, and went to school there throughout the fall, winter, and spring months. There were kids from K through 12 at the school, and I quickly made friends among them, learning some sign language and otherwise communicating with hand gestures and smiles when I didn't know what to say. The first phrase I learned was this, which means cool your jets. So that's one that always stuck with me. And also, when you're part of a deaf community, they give you a cool sign after they get to know you. And often the sign references your appearance, your personality, or your talents in some way. Since my friends at the ranch often found me on a basketball court, they combined the sign for the letter M, which is this, with dribbling for basketball. One of the students there was a girl my age, and we had a mutual crush on one another and tried to spend as much time together as we could. This kind of thing was frowned on, so we had to, you know, work it in as we could. Yeah, maybe that's where I got that from. On Friday evenings, the children of Rancho Sordo Mudo would watch a movie together, and on this one particular evening, found us watching one of the Back to the Future movies. I don't remember which one. I was, of course, seated next to my friend, Inadina. At one point during the course of the evening, I think maybe it was while we were waiting for the movie to start, she turned to me and asked in American Sign Language if I had accepted Jesus as Lord. I had to answer her honestly that I had not. She then asked a follow-up question, why not? And this simple answer stumped me. That why not from this person that I cared for stuck with me for several months later. And after our family hesitantly returned home after 3 months, the question finally broke down the defenses I had put between myself and my Lord, and I committed my life to following Him. So that's how I, a missionary to Mexico, came to be converted by a 13-year-old Mexican girl with a mustard seed faith that was much larger than my own. Throughout the course of my life following after, I can point to definitive moments, marriage, call to seminary, pastoring, having and raising children, that have nurtured my mustard seed faith and led to a life of fuller discipleship. To discover, as C.S. Lewis wrote in The Last Battle, the final book of the Narnia series, I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. And then the further invitation issued by those already in that country, come further up and further in. I'm still pursuing that country that is becoming home to me. I'd like to share more of my own story with you, but that could take all afternoon, so I'll tell one more story from my current work that interfaces with my own life journey of further up and further in. Even though I had experienced a powerful conversion as a missionary in Mexico as a teenager, I let my head get the better of me in college and seminary. That is to say, my mustard seed faith shrunk to the size of my intellect. Without even realizing it, my studies in philosophy and theology trained me to see God as more of an abstraction, a concept, than a deep and abiding relationship. This was definitely not the fault of my professors, but of pride in my own knowledge, abilities, and performance of faith. It took another deaf woman to awaken my faith and lead me toward a fuller relationship with Christ. God placed in my life another missionary to help me to see what I was being called to. Nancy Marshall is a Via Missions missionary pastor in Orange Walk Town, Belize. I first met her soon after I began my work at Via Missions when I traveled to visit her and a short-term intern that I had placed there as an American Sign Language interpreter in a school. About a year later, when Galen and Gloria Lehman retired from their work overseeing deaf ministries at Via Missions, I became her coach and supervisor. There is an intensity about Nancy that I became intrigued with. It takes a good bit of intensity and determination to start a church for the deaf in a community where deaf people are looked down upon and where women pastors, for all intents and purposes, are non-existent. And that was just the beginning of it. I soon learned that Nancy's little community and church were plagued by the demons of extreme poverty, alcoholism, and sexual promiscuity, and that these demons did not take kindly to a woman pastor waging war on them in the name of Jesus. She told me stories of things going missing from her home, tires slashed, her dog killed on her doorstep, and people on her front stoop calling down curses upon her and her home. I also learned that it takes a lot of faith and a deep, abiding relationship with Jesus to live and minister in such a place. Without daily looking to God for direction and sustenance, I know she never would have lasted these 11 years and counting. And to my surprise, not only did Nancy regularly commune with God, but God spoke to her just as regularly. It speaks volumes to the power of our Enlightenment worldview that I would find such a thing remarkable at all. After all, the Christian faith is precisely about a God who loves us so much that He was incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ and then sent the Spirit to dwell in us. And yet, when people would ask me what God was speaking to me, I had been mute, not having been trained to hear and respond to the voice of God, and not having cultivated adequately my own prayerfulness of spirit. And yet, here was Nancy Marshall, desperate for God because she absolutely needed Him to survive, and God was a faithful friend and Savior to her, showing her regularly through the Spirit what she needed for herself, her community, and others. I have been the recipient of her Spirit promptings as she has shared a vision or a word from God that I needed to hear and which was undoubtedly intended for me. Hers was a mustard seed faith that could hope for and see a mulberry tree planted in the ocean. For what is more impossible, a tree uprooted and planted in the ocean by faith, or a church peopled by the poor of the earth, alcoholics and prostitutes, who have come to know and experience the love of God through a tenacious woman who believes in the power of God to do these things? Nancy told me a story recently of a young man she has been discipling. His name was Manuel, and he had been part of Jesus' deaf church. Nancy had been praying that God would raise up a leader to take over the church when she left. And here was a bright young man from the deaf community who prayed in the Spirit, knew the Scriptures, and was able to teach effectively. However, like so many men in her community, sexual promiscuity had gained a hold on him, and he separated himself from the church in shame at how his behavior was destructive in his life and the life of the church. For Nancy, this moral failing was devastating. In the same year, another young man whom she had been discipling had died suddenly from cancer, and his death was also devastating to this tight-knit community. And yet, in an email I received last week, I learned from Nancy that Manuel has been coming to church again. His words to her were these: "I bet you wonder why I keep coming to church when my life is such a mess. I come because I feel the love of God here. I know that if I try to walk the way of Jesus and mess up, I can come back to God and He forgives me and still loves me. So I come to thank my Father for loving me, even though I am a horrible sinner." A mulberry tree uprooted and planted in the ocean, roots abiding in the love of God. Both Nancy and Manuel are testimony to the powerful and captivating love of God and their lives that sustain them even when confronted with so much destruction and death. From my deaf sister, I have learned to tune myself to a God who is very near to me. I have often not had the faith to hear and see how God has been speaking to me, I'm still learning and still asking like the disciples, Lord, increase my faith. Is there a prayer better than this one? To receive faith is to begin to see and believe Jesus' words that nothing is impossible with God. As an arrogant student of philosophy in college, I was a skeptic of a vibrant, prophetic, missionary faith. I thought the world had no need of Western Christians sharing the gospel, that we in the West had irrevocably blown it with our allegiances with political and military power, and that the gospel from the West would always be tainted by these imperialistic stains. How then did I end up at a mission agency, you might ask? Well, I often ask myself that as well and give thanks. Because I have been converted and reconverted over and over again by the testimonies of the saints around the world. And from them I hear regularly stories of faith that increase my faith. Those who have responded to God's call in faith and who in their going see before them the impossible made possible by the Spirit of God. How often we forget these words of Jesus to his disciples in Luke 12. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If it is our Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom, then it is only our lack of faith that keeps us from it. I am ever waking up and seeking the kingdom first, going further up and further in. As our passage from Luke 17 makes clear this morning, we are but grateful servants. Our work for the kingdom is not the drudgery of a slave, but the grateful response of sons and daughters to a loving father. I like how Jesus puts it so matter-of-factly in this passage from Luke. So you also, when you have done all that was ordered you to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. Our lives are simple response in obedience. Whether we are called to mission in Stanton, Harrisonburg, or around the world, we are God's beloved, living stones that in our place build up the church and the kingdom right where we are. And we cultivate receptive spirits so that when our Lord and Master calls, we are ready to respond. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.